Welcome to the No Fungi, No Future podcast. In these episodes, we interview experts in the field to gain a deeper understanding of the magical and mysterious networks of mycelia that are all around us, to learn how they impact our lives and the planet. In this episode, we have the second part of our interview with Scott May. Scott is the VP of Innovation at Givaudan and founder and head of Mista. In this episode, we talk further about Scott's vision for the future of food. We also discuss new advances in making plant protein sources more tasty using natural flavors, and how people can try these products out. Yeah. So just to help clarify what you just said, so I grew up in Singapore, which, as you know, is an island with millions of people stuck on one island, and there's literally no way you could have, for example, cows. But you could envision, and you know, with COVID and everything, you, as you said, you know, Singapore, for example, may not always be able to rely on shipping things in from Australia, for example. But what I heard you say was mycelia do provide a potential answer because you could grow them vertically. You could, you know. So is it correct to say that really it's about sort of providing a solid alternative to animal protein in the long run, or what?
Yeah, I would say it's in addition to, you know, mm-hmm. I don't see a world where animals are completely eliminated. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that we need ruminant animals, for example, to help produce healthy soils. Uh-huh. How those animals are raised and grown is very, very important. Yeah. But yes, to your point, that is exactly the case where countries and regions that are really struggling with food independency, mm-hmm. It's a huge challenge. Singapore has had and has a mandate from the government to be 30% food independent by 2030. Yeah. You know, they're gonna, I doubt they'll meet it, but it was a great goal to have to push, right, with this idea of developing and commercializing technologies like mycelium mm-hmm. to help in that space. Because from, you know, once you grow the biomass, we absolutely have the capability to turn that biomass into great tasting food products, mm-hmm. Whether it's ground beef, whether it's chicken nuggets and those are just American type food products, but yeah, they could definitely be made into other Asian type cuisines. And, you know, you look at someplace like Indonesia, mm-hmm. They've been making tempeh, which is a similar type product for, you know, thousands and thousands of years. So, yeah. You know, it's that kind of capability that I think we need to further accelerate in order for us to become more regionally food independent, and also to ensure that we have a planet to live on and healthy individuals to occupy that planet.
Right. And what are some of the ways organizations you've worked with are addressing that taste issue? Because I think at some points in human history, I was looking at a paper, it said in emergencies, people turn to fungi and mushrooms. But when it's peacetime and everything's great, they're like, I'll just go back to my meat eating, you know, that kind of a thing. But then it's like, how do we not make it the emergency side of plate thing, but more center of plate, you know, and as you said, it's the taste issue. Just curious on if you could talk a bit about that. What are some of the leading edge things that are happening about taste and getting it more center of plate and more, sustainably a go-to?
Yeah. It's a great challenge, and it's one that that a number of companies are working on, including Givaudan. Mm-hmm. So we have a team of scientists at Givaudan, as do other flavor companies around the world, working to develop flavors, for example, chicken flavors, beef flavors, pork flavors, lamb, etc., that can be used that are non-animal derived, but can mm-hmm. be used in combination with things like mycelium to create amazing tasting products. And these are natural flavors. Most mm-hmm. of them are produced With kind of the Maillard reaction type flavors that you where you basically under high temperature react proteins and oils and sugars together to create these flavors, and it's working quite well.
If I can just
So
stop you right there, the Maillard reaction, because I mean I'm vaguely familiar, but if you can explain a bit more for the audience, like what is it peculiar? Is it what gives meat the great taste kind of thing?
yeah, exactly. It's typically a Maillard reaction is what happens when you have heating with carbohydrates and proteins and fats usually all together. So, when you cook a pie and you put butter on top and you put it in the oven and it turns brown, that's a Maillard reaction, for example. Okay. And in addition to that, of course, protein is one part of it. It's an important part, but there's also other components. So, there's also flavor that's derived from the fats and oils. And so the other thing that we're seeing today is solutions that are available to develop and produce fats and oils from other sources instead of the traditional, palm oil or soy oil or other vegetable oils. We're seeing amazing technologies that are being developed that are being produced either through fermentation, precision fermentation, or even other technologies that don't require any food inputs. So we've seen technologies where you can produce fats and oils from CO2, for example. So it's a carbon source that's coming from CO2, but you're not having to grow sugar for then the organisms to eat the sugar. You're actually the organisms are consuming the CO2, or in some cases the methane, to produce the fats and oil of interest. And then you start integrating these solutions. So now you have the protein from mycelium, which is also has fiber and other micronutrients. You have fats and oils that can be produced through things like precision fermentation or other ways, and of course the flavors, which I talked about. And now you and then you integrate those together, in some cases it's a pretty fairly simple integration. In other cases, it's more complex where you're using technologies like extrusion to create the elongated fibers that you might find in a real meat product, for example, like steak. And we're seeing technologies emerge to produce products that look like whole chicken breasts or whole cuts of meat, which are really impressive. And so I think in the next couple of years, we'll see technologies continue to emerge where you can take these different ingredients, mycelium, fats and oils from other sources, et cetera, integrate those together in really cool ways. And that in totality will create solutions that consumers are absolutely in love with. So it's no longer an alternative. It becomes a truly solution that consumers are like, I don't even want the old meat product because this is so amazing. It's so savory. It's so satisfying. And of course, it's healthy for me and it's healthy for the planet. And because at the end of the day, like you said, consumers, when everything is great, they just go back to their old habits of doing what they used to do. So we have to find solutions that they don't want to go back because it's the new thing is so much better in terms of cost, in terms of nutrition, and obviously in terms of taste.
So if someone listening to this would like to try some of the things that you mentioned, is there a way they could kind of try some of, these different technologies in action, or is it still a few years away? Is it possible for someone to try these out?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's definitely products out there in the market. There's a product that's been in the market for a very long time. I think it's more than 20 years, which is called Qorn, Qurn. They originated out of the UK, But you can find them in most supermarkets in the United States and well, really throughout the world. They're very global. And you know, is it they're using a form of mycelium to produce that product. It's a submerged fermentation, so it's a liquid fermentation. It's a bit different than a solid state fermentation you would find in other technologies, but it's still a decent product. Can it be improved? Of course. But that's one example. There's a newer example from a startup called Meaty in the US that's also a mycelium based product. And then of course they can visit restaurants in the Bay Area and taste solutions from Sempera, which is Mamu. So so there are ways to definitely try and taste some of these solutions that are out there.
We hope you enjoyed this episode featuring our conversation with Scott May. Be sure to look out for our next episode coming out soon, where we will continue this conversation. Until then, be sure to get some healthy mushrooms into your diet. Also, please take a moment to like and subscribe to our channel and to drop us any comments. Your feedback is most welcome. Thanks for listening.